Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
NBC Sports Football Morning and American columnist Peter King, what do you think about the Chase Thomas podcast?
I'd like to plug the Chase Thomas podcast. Listen to Chase Thomas. You'll be a smarter sports fan and obviously a much better human being.
Matt Chernoff from 680 The Fan's Chuck and Chernoff Show here. And I want to say thanks for listening to today's episode of the Chase Thomas podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, and all your favorite podcast apps. Chase Thomas went to Parkview in North Georgia. He's a local Atlanta kid, and he won't let the Luka versus Trey thing go. He interned with us back in the day, and you'll always remember him. Anyway, definitely go check out ChaseThomasPodcast.com, where you can find all of Chase's previous episodes, all of his articles, and do him a solid. Leave him a rating and review if you're an Apple Podcast listener. Reminder to listen to our show, Chuck and Chernoff, Monday through Friday, 3 to 7 on 680 The Fan, and subscribe to my podcast as well. Welcome to Matlanta, wherever you get your podcasts.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello. Welcome back to another episode of NFL Super Friends here on the Chase Thomas podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee. Everything School HQ. Joining me, the fellow NFL Super Friends OG for many, many years now on this very program, 49ers Hubs, Evan Swords. Evan, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Now that you have a certain new job, I feel like you introing your podcast like that a little more relevant.
I mean, we're always relevant here on Everything School HQ, but yeah, it's just more Tennessee content, which is what the good folks wanted here.
Of course.
It's what we wanted, but yeah.
Oh my God.
What happened?
Javon Kinlaw is going to the Jets.
And this is still happening. Okay.
The Niners have no defensive tackles.
Well, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the Niners defensive line here momentarily and what the Niners have been doing this offseason. But it's really what a lot of people are doing, because this has been a crazy, crazy Monday we're taping this late on a Monday for the last really 12 hours here. But to break all that down, it's not just Evan on this very program. We have a full cast here back once again. We got JP Acosta of SBNation.com. JP, good evening, sir. How are you?
Doing great. This is always a real fun time of the year to see how much guys are getting paid. It tells you a lot about where the NFL is going trend-wise, and hopefully most teams made their fans happy. Most of the time, they don't.
No, but we'll see. I'm very curious to get your team reaction and the man who I'm about to introduce here, his team's day thus far, and really weekend to this point. Jarrett Bailey of Behind the Steel Curtain USA Today and the Pump Fake. Jared, good evening, sir. How are you?
Hello, boys. No, it's good to be back. I know I've been MIA since the combine. I was sick for a week, but we're surviving. I'm dressed like Will Compton. I didn't even try to do that, but I'm here, and it's good to see you again. I'm good.
Good. I hope you're feeling better.
I am. Yeah. No, I got back from Indy at the combine, and the next day it was just like, oh man, like I felt like I hit a brick wall. Was achy. Was coughing. So it was like that for, you know, 4 days or so. And then after getting past that, I started getting like this toothache. So I had that to deal with for like 3 days. But things are starting.
You get it checked out? What's happening here? Do you have a root canal?
I don't know. I'm one of these people who just like, I'll give it a few days and just hope it goes away. And it went away. So
there you go.
I feel as good as I have since before going to Indy. I hope it stays okay. that way.
I hope so too.
So feeling okay, feeling okay.
I love it. Well, all of our teams have been very active. The Niners, the Falcons, the Steelers, the Jags, over the last 12 hours here and making waves in very, very different ways. I think we start here with Evan because it's been 2 weeks. So this is going to be a two-parter here. We've made the question of like, oh, who was it going to be? Was it going to be Belichick? Was it going to be Pete Carroll? Was it going to be Olbrich from New York? Was Shanny going to get him? It actually ended up just being Brandon Staley and Mr. Sorensen taking over the defense, which now that you've had a pretty good amount of time here to think about it and the staff and what Shanahan decided to do here, are you okay with the Niners going Staley and Sorensen here to replace Steve Wilks?
I don't even understand why they signed Staley. Like, it reminds me of when they brought in Anthony Lynn just to continue playing the exact same way that they had been for the entire time. Like, to me, it almost feels like Kyle was just like, oh, I'm going to promote Sorensen. And they were like, well, he's too young. And he's like, okay, bring a senior coach in to, I don't fucking care. Like, it's just a very Kyle Shanahan move. I will say everything that they've done in terms of hiring defensive coordinators has worked out. I mean, I've had my critiques here and there, but like, I don't think anyone can argue with any of his defensive coordinator picks. Even the one that just got fired was still, you know, a reasonably successful coach. I think this coming year, though, is going to be very interesting when you start to look around and you realize the 49ers defense might not look as dominant as it has in recent past.
I also just wonder, because I've made the comparison, and JP, you're another college guy here. I've made the comparison to Georgia so many times with what Shanahan's built in San Francisco and how much they remind me of Kirby's teams and the way he's building the last few years at the collegiate level. This seems like another one where Evan's talking about like the Anthony Lynn hire and then Brandon Staley. It's kind of like the analyst thing in the college ranks where it's like you go to the Shanahan world orbit for a couple years, and then you might be able to parlay that back into a head coaching job because you were on a winning team and were around a winning organization for a couple of years. So it kind of gets the sour taste in folks' mouths. But Andy Lynn was a good coach when he had an opportunity. And we'll see if Brandon Staley gets another opportunity as well. That's what it strikes me as, is when Shanahan brings in these former head coaches that may not necessarily make the most sense internally. But I think from the outside, it just reminds me of the elite college programs like Alabama and Georgia, what they've done in recent years with the analyst stuff. Is that what it reminds you of?
Yeah, but I think Kirby Smart has also climbed the mountaintop twice and won the biggest thing in the sport twice in a row. So I think we can hold off a little bit on calling Kyle Shanahan Kirby Smart. He's Kirby Smart before Kirby Smart actually started winning the titles.
So, but it's also easier to win, I think, in the college game when you have.
Sure, yeah. But in this comparison, I understand where you're going. But I think the Niners did the smart thing here and promoted from within. I think Brandon Staley getting kind of the analyst look is very funny because they're not letting him like control the defense or call the defense, but he'll have a say in the game plan. And I think that'll be a very smart thing for Brandon Staley in terms of helping a first-year coordinator with a game plan so Kyle Shanahan can go focus on his toys and his offense and let somebody who he trusts run the defense.
I mean, that's the best scenario, right? Like, Staley gets to literally just focus on the numbers, right, and game plan. He doesn't have to call the defense. He doesn't have, like, a lot of the expectation that he's had to deal with in Los Angeles a couple of years. And I don't know. It can never hurt to have too many great, at least strong NFL minds in one room. And it just feels like the Niners and Shanahan's done a really good job of stacking his rooms. And it's also going to help for Sorensen being a first-time defensive play caller at a young age. So it couldn't hurt to have somebody like Brandon Staley in the building to help ease that transition. Jarrett, what do you think about the hire ultimately?
I mean, for the 49ers right now, I think I'm more worried about their personnel than I am who's going to be calling the game. I mean, as Evan just pointed out, I mean, they're running thin on having defensive tackles, which no one really thought would be too big of an issue, I don't think, coming into this offseason. But now, man, like, they're just... I talked about it after the Super Bowl itself, where I was like, because I think, Chase, you would point it out, like, hey, you know, this is, you know, a thin NFC, and they're still going to be one of the perennial powerhouses of that conference. Mm. And they very well may be, but it's why you need to take advantage when you do get there. And they've been here twice now, and they haven't taken advantage of that. Now there's going to be a lot of turnover. We're seeing guys go elsewhere. We're seeing Eric Armstead become a surprise cut because they couldn't come to terms on reworking a deal and him taking a pay cut. We're seeing now Javon Kinlaw leaving. And it could look a lot different next year as well, depending on who gets extended, who gets re-signed. So it's the NFL, man. It's a continuing revolving door. And, you know, that goes for both player and personnel. In terms of who, you know, what they do with Sorensen and Staley, I don't know, man. Like, Staley, I think that he definitely needs, like, this as, like, a rehab-type situation where he goes to a really good situation in San Francisco and can rehabilitate his image a little bit. And if that leads to, you know, an actual defensive coordinator job down the line, cool. So I think that for him, the fit is good. We'll see how he gels with the rest of the defensive staff and see, you know, if they can be as good as they've been in previous years.
I like it. JP. Oh, actually, one final thing here, because you brought up the Armstead thing. Evan, can you explain what's happening with Eric Armstead, and is this enough for you to hit the panic button on what the defensive line is going to look like in San Francisco next year?
I have him hitting the panic button on the defensive line. I won't say panic button. We haven't seen the end of the free agency. What I will say is I am worried about it. I think in years past, the 49ers have taken shots at project defensive players. That's worked out really well because they know Chris Kocurek is the best defensive line coach in the NFL. But I've always seen them do it while having a young player like Kinlaw, Eric Armstead, who's an incredible vet and leader, and then Nick Bosa, who's the best defensive and most times in the NFL. Now you're seeing... You know, Eric Armstead leaving makes sense. I love Eric Armstead. I'm an Oregon Duck fan, you know, all the above. But, like, he's had injuries, especially with his foot, which is really sometimes a scary injury. He was due a lot of money, and he was asked to take a big cut. And, you know, shout out to him. Respect Eric. He said no. So, you know, he was due something like $17 million post with, you know, without a designated post June cut. I don't think it was the right move for them. But, like, the thing that worries me is that they're putting themselves in a situation where they were just in the Super Bowl. They have a chance right now to try and get better, to go back. But it's like every piece that you take away, you have to go even better on the replacement. And they signed, what's that guy's name?
Uter Gross Matos. Yeah.
Yeah. They signed him today, who played fairly well last year, opposite Brian Burns. You know, these are like, you know, similar picks, right? Where they're hoping they kind of like get these guys on a decent deal and then they overperform. I don't know. Can some JP, Jarrett, like, can you still, does that equation still work when you don't have Eric Armstead there holding down the middle of the line?
So I think the Eric Armstead thing is a result of poor roster construction along the defensive front for the 49ers. Even when D'Amico Ryans was the coordinator, they had a bunch of three technique defensive tackles. They were built on getting penetration up the field. They didn't have a true nose tackle. They didn't have a true one technique.
They had DJ Jones.
They had DJ Jones. And then DJ Jones left, and they never replaced that DJ Jones presence. Now DJ Jones might end up being a cap casualty. They could go get back DJ Jones if they wanted to. He'd be really good for that defense, especially what they need. They need a true run-stopping defensive tackle. They need a nose tech. They need Tavondre Sweat from Texas. They need
just
somebody
about to point him out, man.
Is going to stop the run. That's what they need. That's the kind of body type, the kind of player they need up front. It felt kind of weird when they signed Javon Hargrave because it felt like they were going to go all in on pass rush. it felt like we were just going to, we're going to try and get after the quarterback. We'll worry about the run later, because you would be up in every game and you can't run the ball for real when you're down. But now you kind of really need a nose tech. You need a nose tackle, you know? So I'm thinking right now, you know, Tahir Tart would be interesting for them. I think of a guy like Raekwon Davis from Miami, who'd be an interesting nose tackle for them. Derek Nnadi from Kansas City. But they need somebody who actually is a better complement to Javon Hargrave, who can be sort of that run-stopping defensive tackle. But this screams to me like, you know, it was a little bit of poor roster construction up front.
I mean, literally, Arik Armstead was there, and you didn't re-sign Buckner because Armstead was the better contract, which I agreed. So then you draft Javon Kinlaw instead of CeeDee Lamb, per se, because you're like, oh, this is going to be the Buckner replacement. He ends up being nowhere near as good as Buckner. And now Armstead's gone, and so's Kinlaw because he was a bad pick and you didn't give him the fifth-year option. And now both are gone. And you have Javon Hargrave, but he played well last year, but I would think everyone would agree he didn't play up to the kind of the hope that he would play. So, to me, it's just a matter of the more pieces you take away, the harder it's going to be to recreate the magic that got you back to the Super Bowl. It's like every time you take a Jenga piece out of the tower.
Yeah, nothing. So that, what? By the way, sorry.
Huh?
No, there was that weird, awkward pause where all of us were just kind of staring at each other for a minute. I didn't know if Chase was gonna say something. So
I was waiting. I didn't know. I thought that was more of a question for you or Jared or you, JP. So I was sitting there. Sometimes a healthy silence is good because you want to just see.
Good lull.
Yeah, because I'm listening and I'm just ready because y'all are more equipped to answer those kind of questions than myself. But I don't know. Like, what is it right now? What is this Niners, like, if the season started today, what would be the Niners even front four? What is it right now?
Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, yeah, they
Von did Hargrave, Leonard Floyd. Bosa. And is Kevin Givens still rostered?
I think so.
He'd probably be the starting nose tackle.
What do you guys think about? I mean, we're going to stop talking about them soon, so we might as well at least get your guys' opinions on this the Uter guy and Leonard Floyd, like, as additions into this type of an offense.
I think
Gross Matos is kind of a weird fit in the Panthers defense. I think they miscast him as what his role was originally. I think he's better of a hand in the dirt rather than standing up coming off the edge. Leonard Floyd has been consistently productive in the past 4 years with the Rams and Bills. He led the Bills in sacks last year. Buffalo just couldn't afford to keep him, and he's a little bit older, so they were more than willing to let him go. But I think that with, you know, working across from Nick Bosa, that'll be good. I'd be interested to see if they would maybe kick the tires on a DJ Reader, maybe for a year, depending on what that money would look like. He's coming off that quad injury. But when healthy, I mean, he's been one of the best run stoppers in football. So something to pay attention to.
Yeah, I think Leonard Floyd's solid opposite a star. You know, you think about what Aaron Donald helped Leonard Floyd do in getting that big money contract. You think about Leonard Floyd across from Von Miller and what he's able to do. He is a good secondary pass rusher as long as you keep him as your secondary guy.
He's a very good run.
These moves scream to me like they're going to go by committee. Opposite Nick Bosa. You know, teams have running backs by committee. They're going to have pass rusher by committee. I think Gross Matos will probably sub in. They'll probably rotate in. Leonard Floyd's probably going to take the lion's share of snaps, but it screams to me like they're going to go committee-wise instead of trying to swing for a big name or edge, which I'm curious about because I do think there's going to be another big name, at least, that's going to hit the free agent pool.
They did. Mike Silver had mentioned there is some thought that the 49ers are planning on swinging big. They did restructure, you know, a contract saving like was like $16 million or something like that. Was it Warner's contract today?
Yeah, they restructured Fred Warner's contract. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the thought is they're going to take a swing. I will say the 49ers have done this every single year. I don't want to pretend like we're in some uncharted territory. They never signed the most exciting. There was never going to be Brian Burns. You know, like they never do that. They always sign some like, oh, that guy could play well, you know, and they end up playing better because of Chris Kocurek. And then towards the end, there's maybe one exciting trade.
This is, and we could put the bow on it here. I mean, JP, you dropped it in the chat. Like the Niners have only extended what? One person from, and it's Bosa who into their second contract
during the first round draft pick.
First round pick. Yeah. And it's just Bosa, correct?
Yeah. But look, that's also forgetting to mention that because they have extended George Kittle, Fred Warner, soon to be Brandon IU, you know, like it's not like they're not extending players. And I think when you have those guys getting the contracts that they are getting, that's when you have to make decisions on people like Buckner, Armstead and things like that.
I think the 49ers are very good at finding the day two to day three starters. They have not been very good at finding day one guys. That has just not been great, which is partially why they've just traded those picks. They've just punted and be like, we don't have to try and draft a guy early if we can go get Christian McCaffrey. We don't need to do that. There's no reason to. But now you're going to have to start winning in those areas. So I'm very curious what their big swing is. I think it's more likely that it's going to be a Brandon Ayuk extension, because I think whatever T. Higgins gets, I think Brandon Ayuk is going to look at that and be like, oh, give me that. Because T. Higgins.
Also, are we getting a normal Debo offseason? Or is that still possible that Debo is like he gets?
I don't know, but Brandon Ayuk deserves more than T. Higgins. I'll say that much.
Oh, I think it's going to be in the ballpark of T. Higgins, but T. Higgins is going to get a lot of money.
Well, it seems like T. Higgins is pushing to a certain destination. He's pushing to go to a certain potential reuniting, going back home a little bit. It's still 2.5 hours away, but I think he put the Tennessee, that he shared a Tennessee thing today, I think, on social media, unless I'm mistaken. Man.
Going out of your way to try and end up in Tennessee would just be the wildest.
I don't know, man. I get it because Brian Callahan just went to Tennessee.
That's true.
Coordinator for Cincinnati last few years. He was their offensive coordinator since T. Higgins got drafted. And there he can kind of be a true number one receiver while DeAndre Hopkins kind of ages gracefully into number two or 1B. It allows Treylon Burks to move to kind of a power slot role. They also have a lot of cap space, so they can do that. But I don't know if Tennessee has the draft picks to do it. I think if anybody's going to, it should 100% be the Carolina Panthers, because now they have the draft picks thanks to Brian Burns, and they have the cap space. You're not going to spend it on any other no receiver at 33 and 39 is going to get you a guy like T. Higgins. So you might as well just go swing for it now.
He did post on his Instagram. He had a screen cap. I think this is his high school tournament when he was playing basketball at Oak Ridge, but has Tennessee in the court. So clearly it might be a message there in terms of where he might like to end up getting traded. But speaking of trades here, JP, your team made a trade, which feels like forever ago now. Mac Jones for a 6th-round pick to back up Trevor Lawrence. First of all, what do you think the thinking was there if you're Trent Baalke in Jacksonville? And what have the early moves with Gabe Davis now entering the fold in Jacksonville as well? Almost got Will Lutz, but he was like, I'm going to stay in Denver for whatever reason after jumping out the last minute. So Jacksonville still needs a kicker there. But in terms of what their early free agent moves have been, what does that say to you about their offseason strategy? And what's up with the Mac Jones thing?
Okay. Mac Jones is bad. That's it. For everybody being like, oh, he's going to challenge for a starting job. No, the hell he isn't. He is there to be a backup.
Wait, is that a thought? There's people out there.
That has been a thought, unfortunately. He's there to be a backup. My question is, why would you trade a sixth-round pick for a backup when there are plenty of other quality backups that are going to be available? I think it was from a large, like, zoomed-out scale, it looks fine, like you traded a six for a backup quarterback. But it's the process that really gets me, where you're having to trade for a backup quarterback when you're like, the reason they traded for him, according to, I think, Jeremy Fowler, was he can stay healthy. C.J. Beathard hasn't been healthy. C.J. Beathard got hurt maybe like once, maybe twice during the season. And he only played in like what? Like the two games Trevor Lawrence got hurt in. It just feels like this is bad process of trading for a guy who is both A, going to be cut, and B, probably worse than any other backup tier quarterback that was probably going to get money.
Wait, who's going to be cut?
I think Mac Jones is going to get cut.
You think he's going to get cut before the year?
I thought he was going to get cut if he didn't get traded to Jacksonville.
Ooh.
Like,
he's really bad.
He was both really bad, and he didn't want to be there, and nobody wanted him to be there. So
I think he's from Jacksonville. Didn't he go to Bulls?
He went to Bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from Jacksonville, so it's kind of the hometown thing, but he also sucks. So he will not see the field. Initially, I was a little heated about the Jaguars' free agent moves today. Gabe Davis is whatever. I mean, look.
He really is whatever.
I think the $50 million got put out first, but it's really $39 million with incentives. One of those incentives is winning Super Bowl MVP. If the Jaguars make the Super Bowl, Gabe Davis is not winning Super Bowl MVP. So it's really just 3 years, $39 million. It looks exactly like the Zay Jones contract, which makes me believe Zay Jones is probably on his way out. Mitch Morse is a good signing. You needed Mitch Morse as your starting center. You at least get average center play for an offense that is going to be running back every single spot on the offensive line except the center. That tells you a lot about what they thought of Luke Fortner and what they thought about their issues offensively.
They're becoming Buffalo Bills South.
Pretty much. Hopefully we can get a little better playoff success. But, I think Ronald Darby at corner, fine. I think it's a good signing. I am interested in how that plays into their plans with the draft, because now you don't necessarily need to go corner at 17. It'd be great if you did, but you don't need to. And especially with their holes that they have up front, I would not be surprised if they went defensive tackle there. Darnell Savage he kind of sucks. So I wonder what the process is there. But to me, this entire first day of free agency screams, we knew what our issues were offensively. They didn't have speed and they couldn't protect along the interior. They fixed that with Mitch Morse. They fixed it with Gabe Davis. Zay Jones is probably out. You better hope you can get Calvin Ridley. You better hope you keep Calvin Ridley, because a receiver room of Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, and Gabe Davis is not good in a must-win year. I'll take Calvin Ridley, Gabe Davis, and Christian Kirk, and Evan Ingram. That's good. That's a good room. Calvin Ridley was good, considering he hadn't played in 2 years. I think that's fine. But you better hope you can get Calvin Ridley. And I think it's bad process, but the results still might end up in their favor.
I'm serious. I'm not trying to troll. I understand why you would say it, but like, is it really a win now year for the Jaguars?
Yes.
I mean, do you think they have a true Super Bowl roster?
I don't think it's about Super Bowl. I think it's about playoffs. You have to get back to the playoffs. You no longer have the benefit of the AFC South is bad and you're on Trevor Lawrence's rookie deal. You no longer have that. And this year is going to go really far in terms of the perception of the team. And Trent Baalke needs.
Thank you. I was wondering. That's okay. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but that's like, I couldn't believe we went this long talking about the Jaguars roster construction without mentioning the terrorist that is Trent Baalke. Like, by the way, remember the beginning when Trent Baalke got hired and I just sat here going, you poor, poor soul. Like,
I'm still shocked he outlasted Urban Meyer, even though he was partially the reason that roster.
What he does. It's what he does. It's literally what he does. He is a cockroach. He's a survivor.
He needs this team to win this year. They have to win a lot of football games. And you don't do that with a receiver room of Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, and Evan Engram. Even a receiver room of, if you add Zay Jones to that, I don't think you're winning a lot of games. I think
don't forget Devin Duvernay as well. I believe they added him as well.
He's going to fill the Jamal Agnew role. He's going to be the gadget player, kick returner. Mm-hmm. Probably an upgrade over Jamal Agnew considering the youth and injury history. Yeah. That's again, fine. Fine signing. Will Lutz is bad. So I'm happy he kind of just took his shit and left.
Who was the guy? Who did y'all have forever? Scobie?
When?
I'm talking about
that was
like
a long time ago.
But I'm saying he was your best all time, right? Wasn't it Scobie? Wouldn't it be Scobie?
It's probably Scobie, yeah.
Nah. He was a Steeler for like 10 minutes.
Was he really?
Josh Scobie. Near the end of his career. Yeah. But yeah, I think the Jaguars moves today, they made a lot of moves. They made a lot more moves than I thought. And it's kind of telling what you want, what they're going to do in their process for the rest of the offseason. I think now it's about keeping Ridley, which I still think they can. I think it's been really quiet on the Ridley front, which is good for the Jaguars because, I mean, look at his options. He's probably the top two right now are the Patriots and Jaguars. And if it were me, I'd be willing to take a little pay cut to play with a quarterback that can actually throw the ball. And then you're just working on the extension with Josh Allen. And from there, like, hey, you draft a guy at 17, like a defensive tackle, maybe a Byron Murphy or Johnny Newton from Illinois, and you're back in it a little bit. You don't even have to draft defensive tackle at 17. You can draft a corner. Like, there's a lot of ways they can go, but I think this free agency period kind of tells you what they thought about their holes and their weaknesses on the team.
Jarrett, what is your biggest Steelers question right now?
My biggest Steelers question. Mostly to like fans that are like, oh, they did it. They're so much better now. This is a 12-win team. I'm like, no, they're not. Like, let's get real for a minute.
When you say what they did, Jarrett, can you illuminate us on what the Pittsburgh Steelers did over the weekend?
Yes, the Pittsburgh Steelers signed Russell Wilson to a one-year deal.
At like midnight last year.
$1.79 million or something?
Any time. Yeah, no, they're paying their new punter almost three times as much as they're paying Russell Wilson.
I'm not going to lie, though. There's a lot of people who were like, oh, it would be really poor form to sign him at so low and make Denver blah, 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 blah. Shout out to the Steelers being like, nah, dog, you guys can hold that check.
And look, man, like I've said this all day. I've written it a few times. It goes two ways with me. They got better at quarterback. Undoubtedly, they got better at quarterback, which is good. That's good. They were, you know, a 10-win team last year with the worst quarterback play in football. So you bring in Russell Wilson, who's better than Kenny Pickett. That's good. He's better than Mitch Trubisky. That's good. But this doesn't move the needle for them whatsoever. It doesn't take them from a wild card team to now a team that can make a deep playoff run. Russell Wilson is the difference between losing 31-10 to a good team to losing 31-20 to a good team.
Can I just like chat GPT this real quick, Jarrett, and like pretend you're a very negative, pessimistic Steelers fan?
That is what I am, though.
I would listen, man. I was giving you the benefit of the doubt. I really wanted to use the chat.
I'm Steelers fans' least favorite person on Twitter because I am.
And you just assume, as that pessimistic fan, what the best possible outcome this season can be with Russell Wilson. Not just a win, but like the best season outcome possible.
The absolute peak for them with Russell Wilson at quarterback is they get into the playoffs as a wild card team and they pull off a hell of an upset and win one playoff game and then get smoldered in the divisional round. But they aren't making a deep playoff run. Like that's the thing that really upsets me when it comes to the Steelers is like, yeah, that's cool, man. Like we can look at it and say, well, they're only paying Russell Wilson $1 million. But you know what would have been the better move? Giving Kirk Cousins more money and being a legit playoff team. You know, Chase Thomas, our teams are running a very parallel line right now where, you know, both teams transition off of, you know, Hall of Fame quarterbacks and have been in this weird limbo of bad quarterback play for a few years. The Atlanta Falcons this offseason recognized, damn, we cannot go back to a Marcus Mariota or Desmond Ridder. We got to get somebody good. And they paid Kirk Cousins, and good for him for doing that. The Pittsburgh Steelers said, man, how can we continue being as cheap as we possibly can at the most important position in football? And they did it by bringing in Russell Wilson. Guess who's going to have more playoff success this year? It's going to be the Atlanta Falcons. It sure as hell isn't going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I mean, Baker is locked up, and we'll get into Baker and Tampa. People are just like penciling in now at the Falcons. We'll talk about the Falcons in a second. I'm just like, oh, they're going to win the division. They're going to host their first playoff game in the new building.
That's the boat I'm in, man.
The Bucs have won this division 3 years in a row. Like, I'm going to need to see this at some point. You're going to have to get over this hump.
One of those was Tom Brady. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Two of them was Tom Brady.
I mean, that's fine, but it wasn't a good Tom Brady that last year. It wasn't like the Bucs were over here lighting the world on fire. I don't know.
Didn't he beat the NFL in passing yards that year?
Well, I mean, the Arthur Smith crossover here, too, and that's, like, my biggest question. Like, Mina Kimes made the point when her immediate reaction on Twitter, and I want to get your perspective on this, Jared. It's like Arthur Smith and someone who's watched years now of Arthur Smith's offense, his quarterback needs to be able to sit in the pocket and do stuff over the middle of the field.
Right.
And that's not Russell Wilson at all. So it just from that perspective, do you think this is actually a sneaky recipe for disaster based on what Arthur Smith is going to want from Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be as cautiously optimistic about it as I can, but Nate Tice was like running through all the Falcons quarterbacks since Arthur Smith took over and going through like their percentage of throwing across the middle of the field. And it was, you know, like 15% for Mariota, a little bit less than 12% for Ridder. Last year for us, it was like 5.8%, which is the lowest amount in the NFL. And if you look at his passing charts, I mean, it certainly backs it up. For him, it's, you know, it's either a touchdown or a check down where he's either going bombs away or it's 4-yard dump offs, it's screen passes, it's the safest stuff possible outside the numbers. So I'm definitely worried. Like I said, this doesn't do anything for the Steelers in terms of making them a Super Bowl contender. At the very best, it's the difference between being 9-8 and 10-7 and not getting as humiliated by an actual team with an actual quarterback who actually take the position seriously in the AFC, unlike the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think that their ceiling is sneaking into the playoffs, getting smacked by the Texans or somebody in the wild card round. And then we're going to be having the exact same conversation next year because Russell Wilson's only on a 1-year deal. So God only knows what they're going to do next year. They're going to find somebody else incredibly cheap in free agency and hope that they can muster together 9 wins. And then they'll pat themselves on the ass for a job well done because they're not a series franchise. So that's where my head's at right now in terms of being a Steelers fan. It's grim times.
So I actually think the best and also last chance for Russell Wilson to be anything in the modern NFL, I think Arthur Smith presents his best opportunity. And the reason I say that is just went and looked it up on Sports Info Solutions. The Atlanta Falcons last year had 184 total attempts or 270 total attempts over the middle of the field. That's 22nd in the NFL. It's not like they were absolutely like every pass was over the middle of the field. The 49ers were like 3 attempts behind them. So it's not like they were absolutely destroying teams over the middle of the field. But at its base structure, what Arthur Smith wants to do is get into heavier personnel, run the ball, and then attack vertically off of those play-action passes. That's what Russell Wilson has to be in order to be a thing in 2024 as an NFL quarterback, because, like you said, he's not a quick-game quarterback. He's not a throw-over-the-middle quarterback. That's fine at this point. You can win something with that. He's not a quarterback who's going to win with his legs at this point, so he can't really create under pressure. But what he can do is if you give him a deep pocket off of heavy play action, he's shown that he can still hit the downfield throws. That was something watching Russell Wilson this year. He could still hit those throws. He could still hit those downfield passes. It was just Sean Payton and Russell Wilson were never going to work together. Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson might be Russ's best chance at actually continuing and being something in the NFL. So I guess I'm kind of curious to see how it all pans out. I think if he's there at 20, Amarius Mims is the pencil in. Run up to the podium and take Amarius Mims. You move Broderick Jones to the left, you take Amarius Mims, put him at his natural right tackle spot, And then you had the bookend tackles for the two-time national champions on the Pittsburgh Steelers and Darnell Washington and Pat Freiermuth running.
I'm not gonna lie. Ball. If the Niners don't trade up to get Mims, I might lose my mind. So that would hurt my feelings. Russell Wilson could not have had a bigger fall from grace here. I don't see Russell Wilson going the Tyrod Taylor route and just playing for the rest of his life. Do you think if this year is a failure, he retires?
I don't know about retires. I still think he tries with another team, but
that's
something
I don't think he's not the kind of guy that just keeps going. Like, he's going to eventually have his ego go, I don't need this anymore.
Well, he definitely doesn't strike me as someone who's willing to, like, go...
Yeah, battle.
Well, not even battle, just, like... Because it's just different with superstar guys. Like, some guys age well, some guys don't. Like, it's harder to... Not everybody is cut out to do the Vince Carter thing, right? Where Vince Carter has this second act in his career where he goes from superstar to just three-point assassin. And, like, his points, like, what he did with the Hawks at the end of his career was unbelievable. Like, he learned how... He reinvented himself and became a role guy. I think that's easier said than done. I think for most guys, they're like, I don't know. It wasn't easy for Cam down the stretch. And I mean, Cam's still saying like he's still one of the 32 best. And that obviously has not gone his way. Like Peyton, once it went, he was like, all right, this is out. I got a ring. That last year was really, really brutal. I'm out of here. I don't know. I feel like for a lot of the all time greats, when we talk about Hall of Fame quarterbacks, I mean, you saw with Drew Brees when it was really, really slipping. He was like, I don't want to play this way. And I don't, like, they weren't just going to be a backup to be a backup.
Drew Brees went longer than I think Russell Wilson.
Drew Brees and Russell Wilson, I think they're different.
Yeah.
I think the thing with short quarterbacks is, it's Drew Brees. Russ is not Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Drew Brees is a buzzsaw supercomputer. He could play as long as he did because he saw every single coverage that has ever been played in the NFL. And he could throw those short passes. Russ is not that. Russ has never been that. And I think for him to continue with his career, I think he will have to change his game a little bit. I think instead of, like we talked about earlier in the season with Russell Wilson, it can't be let Russ cook anymore. It has to be let Russ easy bake or let him microwave. You know, you don't have to do everything in the offense. You just have to make two throws a game. Just allow him to make two throws that'd be like, vintage, make the vintage Russ throws. It's like with Vince Carter. We don't need Vince Carter to go out there and do 360 dunks at 36 years old. You hit a couple corner threes.
Yep.
That's all you got to do. And that's what the Steelers just need him. They need to get some explosiveness in that offense. And that's what Russell Wilson's going to do. George Pickens' average at the target is going to probably be like 47.
And look, also, I don't know if he's going to enjoy this experiment.
I think Pickens will. I think Deontay Johnson will not.
I think they're going to end up trading Deontay Johnson before the season even starts, if I had to guess. I think that there's a reason. We saw what Jerry Jeudy's value was, and he's better than Jerry Jeudy. If T. Higgins gets traded, I think it'll be somewhere between that. He's not as good as T. Higgins, but he's better than Jerry Jeudy. I think somewhere like a third or fourth round pick. Late
okay?
day two, early
Should
day
Steeler
three.
Fans be okay with a fourth rounder for Deontay?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to re-sign him, so you might as well get something for him.
Yeah.
And no one drafts receivers better than the Steelers do, so they can take somebody in the second round and sign a guy. And
they really are still just hitting on receivers every single year.
Yeah, so...
I mean, their only miss is what, Claypool? Is that it?
Claypool was a miss.
But he also,
Claypool had, like, a good year.
Yeah, Claypool had a really solid rookie year where everybody thought that he was like, you know, the next in line. So
Mapletron.
Yeah.
I thought it was Plaxico. Like it was like, they got another Plaxico, just the tall goal line guy.
So
Plaxico's fun.
I'll say this overall about Pittsburgh, though. I think they're still going to they'll be, you know, that 9 or 10 win team who's either the last team in or first team out in the AFC playoffs. And it'll be more of the same. I think the offense is going to be better. Because, like I said, Russ is better than what they've had over the last few seasons. Russ had more touchdown passes last year than all Steelers quarterbacks combined since Ben Roethlisberger retired. They've been so bad at the quarterback spot. So,
goodness gracious.
So I think that they'll be better offensively, but I don't think it's going to end up being, oh my goodness, the Steelers are a 12-5 team. I'm sorry, but some people, you know, in the comments of Behind the Steel Curtain, please go read us over at sbnation.com/behindthesteelcurtain. Like in the comments saying, oh, they won 10 games last year, so naturally they'll get better this year. No, that's not how that works. If that was how that works, then we would just, you know, look at schedules and we wouldn't play the games. So we would just go, you know, record by, you know, by schedule. I hate people, so I just had to get that out. But I think they'll be relatively the same.
The division's just brutal. Like, I think the Browns will be better.
Browns will be better. I think the Bengals are going to be better.
Well, the Bengals are right there too. That's what I'm saying. And the Ravens definitely aren't going anywhere. So you just look at it and you're like, it's a brutal division. Like, I could easily see the Steelers finishing last in the division and being.
We say that every year though, and they never finish last.
Yeah,
They haven't finished last.
Well, it took a Burrow injury this year to avoid it.
Not even that, man. Like,
yeah, but the fact that they did it with those quarterbacks, regardless of the Burrow injury, is like really impressive.
And even then, like, Joe was playing banged up in the first, 6 weeks of the year. I think that a healthy Burrow, right now, if I had to pick an AFC team to go to, I think that the Bengals could get to the Super Bowl.
I would like to see if they can replace T. Higgins and DJ Reader before I make any sweeping judgments about the Bengals this year.
Because
losing T. Higgins would be very big.
Yes.
DJ Reader would also be very big. Losing Chidobe Awuzie could be sneakily big because that safety room and corner room, the secondary, was very young and very bad.
Right.
You can't afford to be very young and very bad anymore. You got to be one of, you either got to be bad or you got to be young. You can't be both.
I like it. Next up here, Evan, who are you most worried about losing from San Francisco this offseason?
I don't know that I'm really worried about losing any one person. My worry
is Ayuk. Like, what if Ayuk's out?
He's not leaving. Okay. There's 0.0.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's less than 0.0% chance. Like, okay, it's not going to happen.
Could it be Warner? Could it be
No, Debo? Literally, there's no. I honestly, I wish they would trade Debo. I do. I really do. I wish Debo can't
separate.
You're
in trade Debo camp now?
I was in trade Debo camp 2 years ago. The amount that you can get for Debo Samuel, for everyone's always like, Debo is so necessary to this offense. I have seen this offense work very well without Debo Samuel. Christian McCaffrey is necessary to this offense.
I didn't think
to that point too. In the same vein, I was kind of like hoping that I kind of want like Kyle Juszczyk to go too. Not because I don't like him. I love Juice and I think he's a fantastic 49er and person, all the above, but I kind of want to like force Kyle to not get his perfect little setup with his little fullback. And it was like, I want him to like kind of move outside of his safe zone of what he's been doing in the offense, because everyone has been patting him on the back for so long and he has had a successful offense, but like, I don't know, man. Something's got to change.
Wow.
They got to win a Super Bowl.
And Debo
couldn't separate.
I feel like Debo is not a separation receiver. He can't separate. Evan is right. Debo is not a separation receiver. He is a behind the line of scrimmage. The reason I think Debo matters in that offense is because the checkdowns become 6 and 7 yard gains. Those become a constant part of their offense. But like Evan said,
certainly didn't become that in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's because the Chiefs have banshees that can tackle really well. And
well, you know, you're the 49ers, it doesn't really matter what happens in week 3. It kind of fucking matters what happens in the Super Bowl.
Of course. Of course. And what I was getting to was like what Evan was saying.
I'm taking my anger out on you. You don't deserve that. It's not your fault.
No, you're good. You're good. Having Christian McCaffrey kind of makes Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey a little redundant because they both do the same thing. And Christian McCaffrey is better at what Debo does.
But isn't it kind of like insurance for both of them? Is like you just don't know which one you're going to have healthy at the end of the year that you kind of need both because you're not going to have them both at full strength.
I'm a big idiot 99% of the time. But my problem is that when you focus on having someone that will allow you to do something if one other person gets hurt, like it takes away the opportunity. It's like the issue of like always using George Kittle to block because it needs the offense to be that way. Like I would much rather, instead of having Debo who can be a backup to Christian McCaffrey while he's getting paid $20 million a year or whatever, I would rather trade Debo, get a couple picks for him, lose the cap space, draft that burning, you know, speed receiver that they've refused to have in this offense since like Marquise Goodwin. Just like get a different piece to the offense.
Is it? Is there someone out there that would like drastically shake things up if you move on from Debo that they could? Would it be a draft situation? I don't know.
He just broke the 40-yard dash record.
Xavier Worthy.
Oh, was that Xavier? He's a good player. He's fine.
I think a strong gust of wind would knock him down, but I think the player that I'm going to be a little selfish here with the player that I think the Niners can't afford to lose, and they probably could, but Juwan Jennings would be. Juwan Jennings kind of leave San Francisco because of one, how cool he is as a player.
He's dope.
And two, he is a de facto lead blocker. When they get into 11 personnel, they don't have to play Kyle Juszczyk as much because Juwan Jennings can go beat shit out of nickel corners and linebackers and safeties. So losing him on top of losing Juszczyk, that would also kind of suck. But Jennings, I mean, for like 55 minutes, Juwan Jennings was the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So losing Juwan Jennings would really suck.
That's kind of my point, too. Juwan Jennings is supposed to be like a not even nearly as flashy Debo, right? And he was more important in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's Juwan Jennings can run routes downfield.
If Juwan Jennings gets that second round pick designation, I mean, I wouldn't mind it. Second round pick would be nice, especially when they already have 11 draft picks. But I guess I like that answer. I think he's a really important cog to that offense.
There you go.
Shout out to Tennessee football.
Shout out to Tennessee football. Hey, we love that on this very program. Many forget that he was actually the highest rated quarterback in this year's Super Bowl.
He was the highest rated quarterback in the Super Bowl. Yes.
We didn't forget, dog.
People don't forget. JP, love it or leave it. Kirk Cousins to the Falcons with the contract all out there now with the system that Kirk will be walking into here with Zach Robinson and company. Do you love it? Because I am ready to resurrect my Chris Chandler Atlanta Falcons jersey from 1998 and just patch on Kirk Cousins over it, because Kyle Pitts, I don't think, is going to give away his number 8. Guess what's right there? He's been it before. Time to get 12 back on. Guess who was number 12 in the Falcons 1998 Super Bowl run? Chris Chandler at number 12. I'm all the way in. Like, it's the 90s all over again. Let's see what we can do. Get Jesse Tuggle over here. What's Will Overstreet up to? Can we get... I'm naming some guys that I don't even know if y'all know.
Jesse Tuggle.
Bob Whitfield. Let's get Bob Whitfield back in the fold here. I'm ready. Let's go.
I love it. First of all, I do think Kyle Pitts is going to go back to 84 with Cordell Patterson being a Cordarrelle Patterson probably leaving Atlanta. That
he wasn't
that
allows, this year. It doesn't seem
that allows Kyle back. I wouldn't be happy either. You got delegated to, or you got relegated to being like the third running back and never seeing the ball. Like, yeah, I would want to leave too. But Kyle Pitts is going to get 84, which allows Kirk to play at number 8. I love it. I love it for Atlanta. The contract looks big and scary, but if we really want to break it up the way that we've, most of that guaranteed money is in the first 2 years. It's 90 million split. It's 100 million guaranteed. 90 of those 100 million is in the first 2 years. If you guys love Kirk Cousins in those first 2 years, you can tack on some more guaranteed money later. If you don't, then you can let him walk after those 2 years. I think this is a great deal for Cousins and what he wanted. He wanted the guaranteed money up front. I think Atlanta, this makes a lot of sense for what they want to do offensively. I think they still need a downfield element of the offense, some speed. You know, I think now that they have their quarterback, that opens them up at 8 to maybe trade back, maybe take a defender. Maybe Malik Nabers would be really cool in this offense.
I'm curious if they have the gumption to take another skill position guy in the top 10, even after signing Kirk Cousins. Like, if this front office does it 3 straight years, more power to him, but it will be fascinating. I guess actually 4 straight years.
I would laugh a little bit, but I think it makes a lot of sense for what they need in their receiver room. I still think logically they go best defender. I think Dallas Turner will make a lot of sense there, but
I would like Dallas Turner.
This makes so much sense for Atlanta. This is a great move. I think Kirk Cousins catches a lot of flack, but he's a really damn good quarterback. He's really good. He has grown into a complete passer under Kevin O'Connell in that McVay-style offense, and he's tough as hell, man. He's going to sit behind the pocket, and he's going to make those throws over the middle. Incredibly good person. I think this makes a lot of sense for Atlanta.
He also a Hall of Fame bag getter.
Legendary bag getter.
Hall of Fame. First ballot. Put the gold jacket on now. $330 million guaranteed with one playoff win. That man is a legend.
He might get Pittsburgh. More here.
Oh, he's definitely going to get more.
But I said should have been Pittsburgh. I wish that they would have done this.
He might not make the playoffs. Maybe he does, but he might not win a single playoff game with Atlanta.
I think Atlanta's
the favorite.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chase. I forgot you're building that powerhouse over there.
Atlanta on paper is very good right now.
It's very fair to question if the Atlanta Falcons will make the Super Bowl because they're the Atlanta Falcons nothing normal happens to them. But this should be the year they win the division. This should be it. They have the best quarterback in the division. I think Tampa's going to take a step back, not because like, oh, they kept Mike Evans, kept Baker Mayfield. I do think eventually that clock is going to run out with Baker Mayfield because eventually he will revert back to a pumpkin. And also defensively, they don't have a lot of dudes.
Right.
You know, Devin White, Lavonte David are both free agents. I think David might come back on a 1-year deal. Devin White's gone.
Lavonte David, 49ers legend.
Perhaps. Carlton Davis is gone, but I think Zion McCollum filled in there. I think that was going to be the natural progression for McCollum. Shaq Barrett also gone. They need to fill out the pass rush. Offensive line played really well. Still need to add to that department. And again, this is the best quarterback in the division. In a division with Derek Carr, Bryce Young, and Baker Mayfield. If the Falcons don't win the division, they are just cursed. It's never going to happen. It's not going to, because this is the shot. This is Arthur Blank going, look, we're going to win now or next year, because we're pushing all the chips in for the next 2 years.
I wish that Arthur Blank was a Steelers owner. I'm sorry, Chase. I'm so envious that your favorite football franchise cares about the most important position in football and went and got a guy who's good. And also for Kirk, it's going to be a pretty seamless transition offensively, too, because he goes from a McVay-style offense to a McVay-style offense. So it's going to be as seamless a transition as you can get in football. I really like what I see from Atlanta. I think the Raheem Morris hire was very good. Their defense was really good last year. Their skill position players are really good. And if they add one more vertical threat to complement Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan, like, this is going to be a very fun team to watch next year. So very much looking forward to seeing what this team can do.
And the NFC's open, man.
Very open. Very open.
I don't think the NFC is open, but I think the NFC South is very open.
If you don't think the NFC is, I think the NFC is very open.
I don't think it's open because until a team can go into Levi's and beat the 49ers.
But I mean, just think about it though. It's like you just have, it's the Niners, but like outside of that, I mean, who else are you just 100% certain is going to be a 12, right, 13 plus win team this year?
The Lions.
I think it's going to be like
the Lions are going to win a lot of games.
I think that's a big guess on, I mean, Jared Goff and company. Do you really, are we betting on another of that? I mean, another season like that? I don't know.
Yes.
I commend them for going for seeing that it was pretty open and just going, continuing to go balls to the wall right now. Like, okay, we're going to trade for Carlton Davis. We're going to make some moves to keep getting better. Like, we're still going to keep riding this thing. I think that the Lions will still be good. I think the Packers win.
I don't think they're going to win the division. Like I was going to say, I think the Packers are winning the division.
I think Green Bay.
I think the Lions
division.
Missed their moment. Like last year was it.
I don't know. I still think Detroit has the better defense. I think Jordan Love is a better quarterback, of course. But I think the Lions being able to keep Ben Johnson and keep the infrastructure of that team. Losing Jonah Jackson sucks, but Jonah Jackson has been injured a lot. So I would like to see what they do in that left guard spot. Also, I think the Rams are going to be really good next
Rams
year.
Rams are fun.
I'm terrified.
Rams are going to be really good.
Really scared. Did you see their freaking signings?
Yeah.
They have three offensive linemen that could literally just, Atlas, move over. We will hold up.
Their offensive shift from being outside zone finesse team to punch you in the mouth.
Down your throat.
It's perfect. I think it fits Matthew Stafford. They get another difference maker on defense, and you're really cooking. I still think either one of Philly and Dallas is going to be very good. I know we're going to do the thing about Dallas in the playoffs, yada, yada, yada. And they haven't done a lot of stuff this offseason, despite Jerry Jones saying this team is all in for next year. All-in moves aren't losing out on Zach Moss because you didn't want to pay him $4 million a year. That's not an all-in mantra, you know? But I think Dallas is still going to be good. I think Philly is still going to be very good. This isn't a wide-open NFC, but with Kirk Cousins, I think this NFC is as gettable as it has been in a while. Like, you can get got in the NFC. It's not like there are a bunch of bad teams.
I don't think it's a bunch of bad teams, but I'm not as high on Philly. I think that Hurts took a little bit of a step back. They have an infrastructure problem in terms of Sirianni's too impulsive. I don't know what their situation is going to look like. Dallas, I am going to do the thing where I say I don't care about Dallas in the postseason because they continually just let us down. And until they prove that they won't, I'm not worried about them. And they haven't done anything. I know it's only day one and whatnot, but like, what does Dallas have that really scares anybody right now? I think the biggest
Zimmer back though will be interesting. Zimmer, that'll be a great DC. I think Zimmer will be good for them.
They upgraded that defensive coordinator.
I think that in
Dallas
NFC,
is gonna be good. I mean, I would pick Dallas to win the division, right? Like before the year.
I'm not doing that again. Not doing that again.
They just did it, JP.
It took a historic collapse by the Eagles for that to happen.
Guys, are you certain the Eagles bounce back? To Jarrett's point, are we?
That's the thing. I'm not certain.
What I'm saying is, for the Cowboys to win the division, it took the Eagles going from 10-1 to 10-6,
guys,
10-7.
What are we doing?
Evan hates this. Evan hates the Cowboys are back.
And I think that
they're back.
I mean, they're back to being another, I think they're another 12 plus win team next year.
I don't think they're 12 wins. I think they'll get 10 or 11. I think 11 and 6.
Are we really, is the moratorium on this really this low? Are we really, it's been like a month and a half and we're already talking about the Cowboys again? You all make me sick.
No, I think that my favorites in the NFC in terms of teams that I think could go all the way, I think Green Bay can because Jordan Love's a dog and I think they're going to get better as the offseason goes on. I think the Rams can, and it wouldn't shock me if they do just go through the entire NFC.
Those aren't actual Super Bowl picks. Those are just teams that would be really cool if they did make it to the Super Bowl because they flashed hard last year, and how fun would that be?
Well, no, they could. I think every single year,
I think the Packers and Rams could both get to the Super Bowl this year.
Every year. Every year we do this.
That's the broader point of the NFC's pretty open. Like, I don't know. What's Brock Purdy going to look like next year? Are we sure Brock Purdy's going to be awesome?
So we can't give Brock Purdy the benefit of the doubt after having one of the most historically incredible seasons by a second
more
year
than
player
Matt
ever.
Stafford, Jordan Love, or Dak Prescott? I don't know.
He's just went up and just played better than Jordan Love all season.
I don't know, man.
No, he didn't.
Jordan Love down the stretch was unbelievable. Jordan Love is
the entire season was unbelievable.
I don't know.
If we're just doing quarterbacks right now.
What are we doing? I'm not discussing Brock Purdy this offseason. I've had enough.
I have to listen about the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm not doing this.
I'm over here. You fucking guys. I'm over here listening about fucking Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. I don't want to hear it.
I don't believe in them. I'm not doing the Brock Purdy discourse anymore. I will say he was very good last year and he is 23. The runway for being good can still be very good. I just think the NFC isn't open, but there are a lot of teams with flaws. I think
maybe that's the best way of putting it. There's just a lot of flawed teams that you could talk yourself into.
I think you can say the Packers are going to be really fun to watch. The Rams are going to be really fun to watch without going, they might make it all the way. They might be a super,
it is perfectly plausible that both of them could, of them could make it to the Super Bowl. The Rams were very good last year. The Packers were very good last year. And if the Packers get a legit number one receiver, I wouldn't trust me at all.
The Rams were not very good last year. Context, the Rams were very exciting last year because they were supposed to be bad and drafted a bunch of really cool, really exciting, really fun.
They didn't draft a bunch of really fun, exciting rookies. They drafted two of them.
But my point is they re-up with young players. Puka was unbelievable. That's what we're talking about. They were really exciting last year because they were supposed to suck. Now they're
not on this podcast.
You were right.
Not on my watch.
Chase, you were so right. I was very wrong. I will give you that every time. You deserve it.
Thank you.
But
and by the way, I think the Falcons are in this mix too. Like if everything goes well, it would not shock me at all to see Kirk Cousins kind of have a Matthew Stafford esque and then just make a run.
Christ,
I do not know.
Kirk Cousins has one playoff win for every $330 million.
Matthew Stafford had zero before he got to the Rams and he won the Super Bowl.
Because he played for the Lions.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins hasn't played for a bunch of greats.
It's not as if Kirk was playing for, the gods of Olympus here. So, I mean, he's playing with the Minnesota Vikings.
So and Washington. Washington.
The difference here is, Matthew Stafford won the Rams a lot of those playoff games. And also, Aaron Donald is the greatest defensive player I've ever seen. So that helps a lot. I'm hesitant on saying Kirk Cousins leading the Falcons to the Super Bowl because
I'm not saying I'm saying that it wouldn't shock me if they went on a run.
It would shock me because while I do love the signing, this is also a 35-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles. It would be not impossible because it is possible. It would be improbable. I wouldn't bet on it.
I gotta say, and maybe I'm just naive, I don't care about the Achilles. It's 2024. he's not a running quarterback. Adrian Peterson won an MVP after tearing his ACL and MCL as a running back. I'm not worried about the Achilles.
Two completely different people.
Again, hey, running back tearing his ACL and MCL and winning an MVP afterwards, modern medicine cures all my worries about any sort of things I got worried about Kirk. Maybe I'm naive and stupid. I don't know. The Achilles doesn't worry.
Completely different athletes. Two completely different calibers.
Doesn't worry me.
I've always thought Kirk Cousins and Kevin Durant belong in the same conversation.
Caliber, same conversation agree, with athlete. Kirk Cousins and Kevin fucking Durant.
I don't know, man. Kevin Durant's built like a piece of licorice. He's got some skinny legs. I think Kirk Cousins' calves are better than Kevin Durant's.
Are you out of your?
No, I think I'm onto something here.
Yeah, you're on something.
I haven't seen them side by side yet, but I'll get the necessary research done to compare.
You are insane. There is a little bit of hesitancy. Like I said, I love the deal for Kirk in Atlanta, but I also think there's some inherent risk with paying for a quarterback who's going to be 36 that's coming off a torn Achilles. Like, there was risk for the Jets trading for Aaron Rodgers, who was 40 years old, and then he goes out and blows his Achilles four plays into the season. It's not like these things just don't happen. So
that's why you trade up into the late first and take Spencer Rattler
I know you didn't just say that.
I think that's what's going to happen for the Falcons.
I'd be like mid-third.
Say that again. Please say that again.
I think Spencer Rattler is going to be a Falcon. Like,
That's not what I'm talking about. When?
It's a Jordan Love thing. Jordan Love wasn't on the map here. It's a Jordan Love thing. The Falcons trade back in for Spencer Rattler.
I think the craziest thing of the day,
2024, Spencer Rattler, I think, is the long term project for the Falcons.
This is the most insane thing I think I've ever heard you say. Also,
I'm not saying I love it. I also wouldn't hate a flyer on him. Spencer Rattler, when he has a good offensive line, it's a good quarterback.
No, honestly, if the Steelers took Spencer Rattler in like the fourth round, I'd be chilling with that.
I think Spencer Rattler is a Steeler by the end of day two. I think the Falcons are probably, they're not going to trade. They're not going to draft a quarterback after trading for Kirk Cousins, especially on day one. I think they go best defender available, but day two, hey man, if you want to go draft Bo Nix,
I think Bo Nix is gone to Denver. Wherever Denver goes, I think Bo Nix winds up. I just feel like he's such a Sean Payton
not going in the first round.
You don't think Bo Nix is the first round guy?
Oh, I think he's going in the first round. I don't think he should, but I think he
absolutely
will.
Absolutely not. No.
I think Rattler is going to find his way in. And then we gotta figure out where we get Milton. I just want Joe Milton to be the backup in Buffalo so bad. There's never been a more Josh Allen backup than Joe Milton, and I want him. It would be so much fun because it would be so much fun because the fans would like that experience of just transitioning from
I'm gonna take that back because before Mobile, all I heard was, "Oh man, Jay, you're gonna love watching Joe Milton in practice." He didn't do butt shit the entire week there, and I was really upset about it.
Well, I don't know what the practice was like. I don't know what it was, Jim, but practice Joe Milton is a fun time. And also,
he'd be the best quarterback in Buffalo.
Shut up, JP.
Good guy, Joe. I hope it works out for him wherever he goes. I hope Joe Milton finds a good situation.
It's March.
Jarrett Bailey, final thing here before we wrap up. After all this, I don't know where Justin Fields goes now. And the only thing that makes sense to me, I think, is the Vikings. I think it's an interdivision trade. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. Where do you see Justin Fields now?
Justin Fields, you are a New York football giant, buddy. I think that, I mean, if you're the Giants right now, you don't have a lot of excitement on that side of the ball, and Daniel Jones is bad at football. So why not get a guy who has more athletic ability than Daniel Jones? Daniel Jones is, a running quarterback who doesn't have the best arm. I'm trying to put that as mildly and politely as I can. Justin Fields has all the raw athletic ability and a ginormous arm. So I don't know if they're going to be able to fine tool that in one off season. But I do think that in a nutshell, Fields is better than Daniel Jones. And if you're Brian Daboll and you're looking for a last resort thing to try to save you, maybe Justin Fields ends up helping you a little bit. If you can take a receiver at number six to complement Justin Fields, maybe something's there. I think it's better than rolling with Daniel Jones and really just mailing in a year where, you know, I think if I'm just Joe Shannon, Brian Daboll, I got to think of something to that could pan out rather than Daniel Jones, who we know what he is. We don't really know what Justin Fields is yet. He's been in a bad situation for a little bit. We've seen a few pops. We've seen some flaws that are definitely there, but I think that New York makes sense. I think that the Vikings trade up with the Chargers, actually trade up to number five and take somebody like JJ McCarthy. So I think that that's their plan at quarterback. They're apparently going to try to trade for Sam Darnold as well. So I think that that's kind of what their plan is going to be, is Sam Darnold as a bridge, draft JJ McCarthy, and see what happens. So that leaves me thinking that the New York Giants are going to be the team that that kind of comes out of left field that no one's really talked about and end up taking Justin Fields.
So I actually think the Giants are going to take JJ McCarthy. I think I am convinced that if a team does not get ahead of the Chargers, if the team does not trade with the Chargers to jump up to take McCarthy, which I don't know if they will, especially because Atlanta is now out of the QB sweepstakes, I don't think Minnesota will have enough juice to get up there. I think the Giants are going to take JJ McCarthy, which leads me to my next thing, which is I don't think Justin Fields is going to be a starter in 2024. I think wherever he goes, he's going to have to take a backup spot, which is why I say Justin Fields is a Cleveland Brown. I think that is the best fit for what he can do with his legs, with his arm. He can sit. He can be the insurance if Deshaun Watson is to get hurt again, because we know what happened when Deshaun went down and they went through a rotating door of quarterbacks. Now, this is not to say Deshaun is bad. I do think Deshaun was bad last year. But there's no getting out of that contract until 2027.
I mean, so, bro, we said the same thing about Russ, and the Broncos just ate it.
That is $230 million fully guaranteed.
Oh, is that the number? Okay.
Yeah, that's fully guaranteed. You got to eat all of that. I don't know if they will. I think Fields can sit and be kind of the spot starter if Deshaun gets hurt. I think that's where he's at right now.
As long as they bring back this helmet, I think he'd look good in this one. I mean, the white face mask.
Maybe Vegas, but I don't think Luke Getsy wants Justin Fields again.
I don't think Justin Fields wants Luke Getsy again.
I don't think Getsy's
not a good OC.
And I know they signed Gardner Minshew, but he sucks. So you can still draft a quarterback or trade for Justin Fields.
Do you think that the Rams would be? I mean, they just did it with Carson Wentz. They've done it with Baker Mayfield. Why not have another guy come in and go through the Sean McVay rehab project?
That's a bad fit for Justin Fields. I don't think that's his.
Yeah?
I don't think that's his style of game. I think Atlanta realized that. That's not his style of game. I don't think he is a under center boot action quarterback.
So he couldn't work in San Francisco. That wouldn't be a flyer for San Francisco if they're moving on from Darnold.
They would never do that. Kyle Shanahan's
not putting him in Purdy's locker room out of risk.
I don't think that happens. Maybe Philadelphia. They actually get a real backup quarterback.
They rolled with Mariota last year.
Also, what about Indianapolis?
I don't think they'd do that to Anthony Richardson.
But I mean, are you sure about Anthony Richardson? It's not like there's like any.
Why do you do this?
Why do you hate Anthony Richardson so much?
Seattle makes so much more sense than Indianapolis.
He's just not going to be good, guys. Like, he's not going to be a good NFL quarterback. Like, it's not going to happen.
He's going to be very good.
Why do we have to sit here and listen to you talk nice words about Desmond Ritter, but we have to listen to you slander Anthony Richardson?
I'm not an Anthony Richardson guy.
That's fine, but then you should be less of a guy for bad quarterbacks than you are on your team.
Anthony Richardson did more in four games than any Atlanta quarterback has done since Matt Ryan. So, I mean, it's not a high bar to clear, but still, he was good before he got hurt. I don't get it, but I think Seattle would make sense a little bit, but I don't know. Maybe I don't think they do it again because they just gave Baker the contract, but Tampa, because Kyle Trask is an NPC.
I think the funniest outcome for me personally would be if the Steelers got him for like a sixth. That would make it very hard.
The cupboard is really bare at this point for Justin Fields, because every quarterback needy team has decided they will go to the draft or they will get a free agent quarterback. And I also think the Bears kind of overshot their market. I think they thought that Justin Fields was going to get them a lot more picks because teams will bank on the potential. And everybody's just like, no, we'll just draft.
What if they just keep him and they trade the pick? What if they just keep Fields after all this and trade the number one pick?
Then they should fire everybody.
That would be incredibly stupid.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
It's in play, though.
It's in play. It's in play, but it's a dumbass play.
I want to know what's going to – do you know what's going to happen?
What?
Just another version of Trey Lance and Jimmy, like, or Brock Purdy, like, just, and it would be even dumber because
the Bears don't win anything. That's whatever the inverse of just, the Trey
listen,
Lance.
The Bears
is.
Just got announced that they're going to get a brand new dope stadium right next to the river downtown. Just get rid of Fields, bring in.
Also, you're never going to get this chance to have the choice of the top quarterback again. That's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, they might. They're bad.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You're not going to have this kind of luck back-to-back years.
You're not going to have the luck of the Panthers being the worst team in the NFL and giving you that number one overall pick.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because even last year, the Bears finished ninth. They were out of the QB race, even if they didn't have the Panthers' first-round pick. They're not going to get this chance again. You have to take the chance to reset the mark, reset the QB timeline when you can. I think Fields needs to get out of Chicago. I think the environment for him is just not great in terms of the expectations, the pressure. You just need a fresh start.
You can go to Baltimore, back up Lamar.
That could make sense. I could see it. But I think Cleveland is probably what I'm going to say now. I saw New England possibly, but I think New England is going to draft a guy.
And they just signed Jacoby, so I don't think that he.
I mean, Jacoby's a bridge. He's a bridge. That 1 year deal is a bridge quarterback to let.
The only thing I'm certain about is I think the Patriots are going to be really bad this year. I also just think the Raiders are going to be the worst team in the NFL. Like that's the one thing I can't shake. I think the Raiders are going to be a disaster.
I think the Patriots are going to be the worst team in the NFL.
I think it will be between the two of them. It's going to be a back and forth, yeah.
Or actually, no. They're not. The Panthers are going to be the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, no, the Panthers are going to keep being bad.
That recap that they just had today of like going over what they traded away.
Not good.
Versus what they have now.
And the funny thing is...
You got Luke Combs going on Twitter complaining now.
Of course, it's different regimes, of course. But turning down two first-round picks for Brian Burns to only trade Brian Burns for a second and a fifth is really, really nasty.
Not good.
That's really nasty business, especially when you don't have a first-round pick. You probably could have used that. You probably could have used those Brian Burns. The Rams were willing to give up their two first-round picks again for Brian Burns, and you were just like, nah, we're good. And now you don't have a first-round pick. I think they're going to be very, very bad again. I am intrigued by their free agent signings. I think Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis, both a lot of money. But you got to overpay when you're the Panthers and you freaking suck. Mm-hmm. So you gotta pay some more money. They're both insane. They're both really good in the run game. This screams... We're not going to let Bryce Young drop back and throw the ball. This is going to be an RPO play action ass offense. This is going to be, and honestly, I think his best, like the best that he can get in the NFL due to his physical limitations, just two it up. Just straight two ball. Go RPOs, quick game. Let him be a playmaker and be a point guard with the ball in his hands.
Get some fast guys in the backfield.
Yeah, just straight up go tool ball, and it might work if you can get Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, but you can't get those guys because you don't have first round picks.
That Xavier Worthy, you are a Carolina Panther bud.
I don't think it's Xavier Worthy. I think this is T. Higgins.
Oh no, I think that they'll trade for T. Higgins and then they'll draft Xavier Worthy, and
I think they have 33 and 39 now. I think both those go to Cincinnati for T.
You think? But I don't know if it takes both of them.
I think they give them both because the Panthers are kind of goofy.
Yeah, that would be stupid. It wouldn't be smart.
But I think T ends up on the Panthers. It's going to take a while for them to be good because, man, that defense is bad.
Yeah, it's not great. Not great at all.
Jarrett, what can the good folks check out from you all across the internet this week?
Tomorrow, I guess if you're listening, this is a podcast, it would be today. Giving a few grades out for certain signings from day one of NFL legal tampering. So probably three good, three bad. I'm going to write that as soon as we're done here. And then the pump fake returns after my hiatus of being sick / in Indianapolis for the combine. Me and Dave Damashek are going to just kind of have a little bit of a moan about the Steelers. So we're going to talk about Russell Wilson, the potential Deontay Johnson trade, rest of the AFC North, and what the landscape looks like as of right now. So that'll be fun. And yeah, those are the big things coming up in the next few days.
There you go. I love it. JP, what about you over at SBNation.com?
So over at SBNation, we have a free agent tracker tracking every single free agent signing that's happening in the NFL. We're also doing grades for the big signings. Come in, see what I'm giving grades out for. See if I hate your team or not. More than likely, you're going to think I hate your team. So that's going to be fun. Still doing NFL draft work. Might do a post free agency mock draft if people are feeling kind of froggy about that. But going to still be watching film. Still going to be rounding out my big board. But follow along. See where I'm going.
Absolutely. And Evan, what do we always say to the good folks here on the Chase Thomas podcast? What do you recommend?
Do not listen to Chase Thomas's football opinions. Oh, sorry. No. Rate the podcast 5 stars because
goodness
this is
gracious.
A full-time job. And he's got a family.
I do have
a family.
Got
a dog to feed.
Man, I do. Please help. She got groomed today. She looks great.
This is good. Yeah. For just 1 5-star review, you can help feed that family.
Absolutely. There you go. JP Acosta, Jarrett Bailey, Evan Swords, thank you as always, and I'll talk to y'all next week.
This is Ben Ingram, radio voice of the Atlanta Braves, and I'm here to tell you that you've reached the end of today's episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast. As a friend of the podcast, I'd like to say thank you for listening to today's episode and hope you return for the next one. To show your support for the program, tell a friend or coworker or even a family member about the program. And if you're an Apple Podcast listener, leave the show a rating and a review. It goes a long way. That'll do it for me. But don't forget to listen to myself and the rest of the team at 680 The Fan and the Braves Radio Network this season. Go Braves!
Chase, I think I'm going to hear more about you. I really do. I think you've got a way about you that you're interviewing. Mm-hmm. Pleasantness, you're smart. So I think I'm going to hear big things about you.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.